Hey there, She's Mark podcast family. I've got something special for all the gatekeepers and nurturers out there who love filling their homes with faith and rest. I'd like to introduce you to the Marked Store, your go-to destination for soul-strengthening, Christ-centered gifts and goods for the godly woman, her home, and her littles. Listen, ladies, home is where the rest is. And my desire is to help you in creating homes that are set apart where the Spirit of God dwells and healing and equipping abide. So whether you're searching for the perfect touch to cozy up your spaces or a way to naturally incorporate rich scripture and faith to the flow of your everyday life, the Marked Store has you covered. And let's not forget our precious littles. The Marked Store has an adorable collection of infant onesies and bibs. Here is the best part. My listeners get an exclusive discount. Use the code MarkedHome15 at checkout for 15% off your purchase, and Marked is spelled M-R-K-D. So go ahead, head over to the Marked Store today at www.markedstore.com, that's M-R-K-D store, and start filling your life with faith, love, and rest. So as you're unpacking your pain story, you may find hidden wounds of rejection where others can only see anger. You may find fear where there is people pleasing. You may find insecurity and feelings of inadequacies where there is toiling and striving and anxiety. The person who is like the overachiever, you may discover a mother wound or a father wound behind that addiction. Do you feel like you're sinking in disappointment and emotional pain? Do you want God's peace even in the midst of storms? Do you long to be a woman who walks in obedience and lives a life that is set apart? And lastly, are you ready to live a life that unapologetically reflects authentic holiness? Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. I'm your host, Hannah, a writer, speaker, and certified biblical counselor. I've gained wisdom and learned some pretty hard lessons through suffering and how it can be a powerful vehicle for transformation. We face a constant temptation to throw in the towel and cave to the turbulence and the pressures of suffering and pain. My heart is to help you shift your eyes from the crash and onto the cross and to recalibrate in your faith and holiness. Join me as we press toward unpacking the heavy luggage of our heart in pursuit of a life that is built on the practical foundation of God's truth. To be marked means to be set apart, distinguished, unmistakable, and evident. The marked woman may be struck down, but she is not destroyed. She rises and recognizes that there is purpose in pain and that she is a vessel poured out for God's use and perfected in His purpose. This woman is picking up her cross, knowing that the cost may involve suffering, but hidden within the tapestry of her suffering are woven threads of intimacy, trust, preparation, and maturity. You're listening to the She's Marked podcast. Healing happens here. Dear listener, welcome to the She's Marked podcast. I'm so glad you're here with me today in this space. And today we're going to be unpacking our pain story. And the motivation behind this episode was to really encourage you all and myself to take a look at the painful parts of our lives. And typically, our response when we take a deep look at the painful aspects of our lives is to obviously ask why, to wish that it had not been a part of our story, to wish that it was something or things that did not happen. Some of our responses to our pain story is to suppress it, to forget it, to overlook it, to disassociate from it in some way. And God, first let me say, God is a healer. I'm so grateful for that. But it's important to understand what that means. Even when we have been healed from something, we don't forget that that thing happened, but there is a sort of renewal that has taken place in our mind that has removed the sting from it. It no longer has us under bondage, but we are free from it. But I want to really take a look at pain and unpacking our pain story. Sometimes the pain that is within our stories brings us such shame, even after we have come into oneness with Jesus, and we feel shame, or we still feel such a deep wounding, a deep burn or sting from the unfortunate things that have happened to us. So much so that we somehow can believe that our goal or our mission with pain is to avoid it. And so where that makes things complicated is that if you are living, if you are breathing, if you have warm blood flowing through your veins, you're not going to be able to avoid pain. You're not going to be able to avoid suffering. And so rather than caving under the continual weight of avoiding pain, avoiding suffering, and then being devastated when you encounter pain and suffering, I think a much better practice is to rearrange your thoughts, your expectations, and your understanding according to scripture on the assuredness that we have that we will experience pain and suffering, but then begin to unpack that pain and suffering in such a way that you are, one, able to navigate and get through it, and you're able to fully let God into that pain so that you can truly be healed from it. I love the verse in Revelation, I believe it's chapter 12, verse 11, that says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." And so I think the part of that scripture that is just so filled with promise and joy when we hear it is that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. If you have not listened to my previous episodes, there is one entitled, "Our Healing is Activated by the Blood of Jesus." I believe the original recording of that episode was 005, but I just reran that episode in August, so you can listen to it. It is episode 34, Best of the Best Rerun. "Our Healing is Activated by the Blood of Jesus." And so we know all that that signifies. We know all that the blood signifies. There's so much to be grateful for in that. But then I love the second part of that verse. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Have you really stopped to think about what that means? There is power in sharing our testimonies. Imagine a room filled with believers. Maybe you experienced this in your local body where you worship. Imagine everyone going around and sharing their testimonies of where God has brought them from, what they have endeavored through, how they've come into saving grace. That alone would bring about so much healing. You get to see and witness the tangible power of God. There's no refuting that. It's not theory. It's not opinion, but it's fact. And so that changes everything because you have firsthand witnesses. Think about a court trial. Whenever you have a court trial, they bring forth witnesses. And it is what those witnesses share that shapes the direction of that judgment, of that ruling. And so there is something so powerful when we begin to share our testimonies, and specifically when we begin to sit with the notion of unpacking our pain story. As I have shared before here on the podcast, a few years ago, I had a vision. I had an open vision. And in that vision, I saw my life flash before my eyes, like on a big screen. And I saw, you know, the year I was born, I saw key moments on that screen where I was a child, a young child, a toddler. And then I just saw my life literally flashing before my eyes, kind of in a fast scrolling motion. And the word, the revelation that the Lord gave me as he showed me that vision was that there wasn't a part of my life that he was not aware of. There wasn't a part of my life that had not been recorded. And there wasn't a time in my life that he was not with me. And one of the things that he, as the film of my life, if you will, as that film was rolling very quickly, I was able to clearly make out moments in my life that were filled with much, much pain. And there were some scenes in that film where I saw myself crying. I saw the devastation that had taken place replaying, and I was stunned to know that it was recorded, which God was letting me know it was, that was his mind. The film that was playing was the mind of God. So he was playing it back to me because he wanted me to know that he recorded it. He saw it. He was there in the midst of it. It was so dynamic. I can't put it into words how I was seeing, and at the same time I was comprehending, and he was giving me the message to comprehend as I was watching this film scroll pretty quickly. And so I had certain revelation that he had given me when the vision first started. And then he had given me more revelation that was taking place as it was scrolling. And then when the vision came to a close, he gave me the final revelation that he was always with me. There was nothing that he missed. And that all of those scenes, even the worst parts, the parts that I said in my own estimation, listen, I could have lived without this. I could have been better off had this thing not happened. And that might have been the case, but what the Lord impressed on me was that those things made up where I'm at now. They're part of the bricks that were laid that created the road to where I'm at right now and the roads where I'm going. And so I have to take it all into account. And so, dear listener, my fellow sister in Christ, maybe unpacking your pain story is something that you have not wrapped your mind around yet. Maybe your story still has the oozing sting. But as we begin to move forward this entire season of unpacking, my prayer is that by the end of it, you will begin to see God in a different light. And you'll begin to see suffering and pain in a different light, not as something that we glorify, not in something that we aim to experience. Like, I'm not saying go out there and, you know, pray for the suffering to come, but you'll be able to still see God when there are nothing but clouds around you. You'll be able to see past the smoke. I had done something called a quick chat where I had made a mini video several years ago when I thought I was going to be doing a quick chat series. Right now, I do something similar. It's called a late night series. If you follow me on Instagram, it's _Hannah the Brand. Or if you follow me on Facebook, my page is _Hannah. You'll see that I do late night series. Even if you get on my email list, you will get those late night series. And that was kind of similar to what I used to do for my quick chats. And my very first quick chat that I did was basically encouraging women to see past the smoke. Our pain can create such a smoke screen that can oppress us, depress us, numb us, throw us off course, harden us, break us in such ways that are irreparable, and it can cripple and paralyze us. And so while pain hurts across the board, it will always hurt whether you're a believer or not. Pain is pain. But the plight of the believer is that there is hope. And when you have hope, you suffer differently. You feel pain differently. You don't feel it any less, but you feel it differently because you have a different outlook. And so my goal for today is to walk you through what unpacking our pain story looks like so that you will be able to stand firm even in your seasons of pain, and that you could also perhaps even get a glimpse into how God sees your pain. So I want to shed light on some notions that can seem lacking in empathy, and I believe it can make some feel tuned out or even a little resentful toward the Lord or having faith in Him. We may hear people say when we're going through suffering that I'll pray for you, or God has a plan, or God is still God when we experience painful moments in our lives. And while I believe that this is very well-meaning and perhaps it even holds some truths, it leaves many people ruffled as if the very real thing they've lived through or are living through is not significant or altering. Sometimes it seems like as believers, we can sweep pain under the rug because after all, we're not supposed to feel. We got Jesus, right? So I believe that there's an unspoken sort of pressure to not feel or be impacted by pain if you are a follower of Christ. And here are some dangers with that. The first is people become confused and deeply disappointed when they experience tragedy or challenges as a believer. They may even go on to feel forsaken by God or weak in their faith because they don't expect to feel. I read this on a website. It said, once you become, and this is about myths, kind of misconceptions that we have about Christian life. The name of this article is 10 Common Misconceptions About Christian Life. And this particular misconception said, once you become a Christian, God will solve all of your problems. Many new Christians, and I'm still quoting, many new Christians are shocked when the first trial or serious crisis hits. Here's a reality check. Get prepared. The Christian life is not always easy. You will still face ups and downs, challenges and joys. You will have problems and troubles to overcome. And then it gives a verse that is encouraging for when believers are facing difficult situations. And it's taken from 1 Peter 4:12 to 13. And it says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." So again, we may be deeply confused and disappointed when we experience tragedy. Tragedy does not go away because you walk with the Lord, and sometimes it can actually intensify. Another danger with this unspoken sort of pressure to not feel or be impacted by pain as a follower of Christ is that it can cause doubt and confusion. When we hear scriptures like, "I will never leave you or forsake you," and then we're going through something where we really feel left and forsaken, we can become doubtful at the truth of God's word, and we can become confused as to, well, Lord, because you said you're with me, I should be safe, right? I think about the story in the New Testament when Jesus and his disciples were on a boat. And they were on the sea, they were sailing, and they had come into a mega storm. I would have thought that if Jesus was on my ship, listen, there is nothing that is going to even threaten us. And that came as a major surprise. The boat was rocking. I'm sure the winds were blowing. There was water blowing aboard. There were high winds. Maybe there were parts of the boat breaking off, like in the sails. Who knows? It was a vicious storm, so much so that his disciples, they were terrified. And Jesus was right there on that boat with them. Now, he was asleep, but they weren't asleep. They felt the turbulence. They felt the shaking. They felt the fear. They felt the storm. I think that speaks in volume. Though Jesus was on their ship, they felt the shaking. They experienced the shaking. And so although you may be serving the Lord, you may have surrendered your life to Him, He may be living in you, moving through you, you will still feel the shaking in seasons of storms. Another danger, we become afraid to be vulnerable and transparent with what is going on in our lives. In setting this standard for ourselves, we live under this pressure. And so now, we feel like we have to make God look good. So I can't reveal the drama
and the trauma that I'm going through or that I've been through, because if I do that, that would somehow make me seem like a not real believer, a not real follower of Yeshua. That would make him be a liar. So I have to mask. I have to look like a good saint. Going back to that article that I referenced, another misconception that they listed was bad things don't happen to truly godly Christians. And I quote here, this point goes along with point number one, which was the first point that I read to you all. However, the focus is slightly different. Often Christians begin to wrongly believe that if they live a godly Christian life, God will protect them from pain and suffering. Paul, a hero of the faith, suffered much. And in 2 Corinthians 11:24, he said, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. That was a lot, ladies. Just digest that 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Paul was a champion of the faith. He suffered tremendously. The next danger is that the embers of religion are fanned. We aim for an appearance of righteousness outwardly, but inwardly we are cut and bruised. Again, these are dangers that come with this unspoken pressure to not feel or be impacted by pain if you are a follower of Christ. Some more dangers. The opportunity for community and growing together is hindered. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. As we share with others, as we reveal, not only are we strengthened when we hear our testimony, but we're strengthened with the testimony of others. And if people aren't sharing their testimonies, then the opportunity for community and growing together is hindered. Another danger, we hinder the deep, deep work that the Lord wants to bring about in us. And lastly, we create tremendous pressure on ourselves to not feel and thus not heal. I mentioned this a few episodes back, but a few months ago, I endeavored to read through the entire New Testament in order. Now, I have likely read a good portion of the entire New Testament throughout my life, but never in sequential order from Matthew all the way to Revelation. And when I was going through the Gospels, the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what gripped me was that as Jesus was carrying out his ministry and he encountered various people with illnesses or people who had died or had unclean spirits, this phrase was recorded. It said, and Jesus had compassion on them. There wasn't this sort of pressure to appear all right or okay. Jesus had compassion on these people in their messes. And in order for him to come into their messes and bring about healing, the mess had to be revealed. Imagine the woman with the issue of blood. If she had resorted to acting dignified and kept her illness under wraps, the pride would have kept her from making that very bold move that she made, getting up and going out, reaching out and touching Jesus in faith. I want to challenge you, ladies, to unpack your pain story, not simply to dive back into those deeply dark and painful places, but to potentially uncover what is there and allow yourself to begin the process of vulnerability with Jesus. A lot of times in our zeal and in our excitement to walk with Christ, which is a wonderful thing, we can begin, like I said, to fan the flames of religion. We want people to know. We want to appear righteous. We want the world to know that we bear the mark of Christ. We want the world to know she's marked. But in doing so, when we don't allow the Lord into our messes, when we don't unpack our pain story, we don't let him begin to dig deep and uncover and touch certain areas of our lives to bring about his healing, we have such secret struggles. We endure unnecessary struggling. We don't get the full benefit of sanctification. We dismiss our struggles. We brush them off. We Bible verse them away. We church them away. We Christianese them away. I like that word, Christianese, that language, you know. But we sound the part, we look the part, but inside, what's happening inside the cup? Before moving forward, I just want to highlight something else that just came to mind. As I just spoke about the many instances in the New Testament where it was noted that Jesus had compassion on the particular people that he was coming across and healing, or the people that were coming to him and being healed. Another thing that I wanted to highlight is that when you are in the throes of pain, and in that pain, you lean on the Lord, you look to him in your brokenness, do you really believe that you can be healed? Do you really believe that Christ is enough? I want to present what is possibly a different angle for you to really think about that from. I'm not sure that many of us actually believe wholeheartedly that Christ is enough. I'm not sure that we understand or we have the full, weighty, deep revelation of what that means. And so when someone who is really, really struggling with pain may hear the words that Christ is with you, Jesus can heal you, he can save you, they may say, yeah, I know that, but I need something else. Or yeah, I know that, but it's not really true. That's just kind of a figure of speech. It's positive thinking. It's wishful thinking. I wanna highlight that nothing that Jesus did was regular or normal. None of it was scientifically possible. None of it was logically possible. None of it made sense. But it was the dunamis power of the Spirit of the living God that made those things possible. The conception of Jesus, scientifically impossible, dunamis power, possible. Jesus walking on water, impossible, dunamis power, possible. Jesus turning water into wine, impossible, but dunamis power, possible. Jesus taking the loaves and the fishes and feeding thousands of people. Impossible. But dunamis power, possible. Jesus being raised from the dead. Impossible. But by the dunamis power of the Spirit of the living God, possible. So it is not far-fetched to claim with certainty that you can be freed from the jaws of pain. You can be freed from the slavery and the bondage of pain. Check out episode 35, where I talk about the great emancipation. When I was set free, it was a dunamis power moment. It was something that could not have been accomplished through therapy. It was not something that could have been accomplished through my good works and my appearance of righteousness and me trying to do the right things in hopes that I would be free. But it was literally through the power of the Holy Spirit through the Spirit of the living God that I had that encounter with deliverance that I had that cold December night in 2018. A full testimony that I still am working to share at the right time and in the right way. But if you have been journeying with me here on the She's Marked podcast, you have heard me reference that. If you have read my ebook, Through the Turbulence, you are aware that I mentioned a little bit about that experience there. If you have checked out the Marked Life blog, my About Me page talks a little bit about it. And so that's where one of the times in my life where I got a taste of the dunamis power of God that wipes out every other factor. It silences factors. It silences the facts. It silences it. So I want you to be encouraged and released by knowing that it is through the dunamis power that all things become possible. I want to challenge you to unpack your pain story. Jesus has compassion on you. I heard a story while listening to a recent podcast. And in this story, a man had a severe case of neuropathy, which is a group of diseases resulting from damaged or malfunctioning of nerves that causes weakness, numbness, and pain in the hands and feet. And so in the case of this man, he had lost all feeling in his feet. So one day he noticed that his foot was bleeding like a lot. So he scheduled an appointment to see a doctor. And with some discussion, they couldn't quite figure out why his foot had been bleeding. So his doctor went ahead and did an examination and he discovered that a nail had gone into this man's foot. But because the man had lost all feeling, he could not detect the pain that would have alerted him that something entered his foot. The speaker on this podcast went on to express how pain can be used for good as it can reveal other things that are really there. So when we feel pain, it is an indicator that something has happened. Similar to this man, there may be something that you don't even know is there. And when this pain presents itself, it can be fertile ground for unpacking. So when you are faced with the temptation to stuff your pain because it doesn't seem godly or righteous, perhaps think, I'm feeling this pain. Why? What else could be there? Like the man who had a hidden nail, the blood was happening, but there was something unseen that was causing it. And because he had lost his ability to feel pain, pain indicated that something was there. Pain was useful in that instance, but he had lost the ability to feel pain. How many of us would love to not be able to feel pain anymore? I would love to not be able to feel pain. But because we can feel pain and because we won't be able to not feel pain as long as we're alive, let's begin to angle ourselves and position ourselves to see pain differently. Pain is an indicator. So, as you're unpacking your pain story, you may find hidden wounds of rejection where others can only see anger. You may find fear where there is people pleasing. You may find insecurity and feelings of inadequacies where there is toiling and striving and anxiety. The person who is like the overachiever, super highly ambitious, that's wonderful, but there might be something under there. Insecurities and inadequacies. So we overcompensate. You may find a weakness that was birthed when a caretaker fell short in your childhood. You may discover a mother wound or a father wound behind that addiction. You may discover false hopes, false comforts, idolatries, dependencies, and so much more if you dare to unpack your pain. Dare to sit with and begin unpacking your pain story. I often share that one of the things I love and admire most about God is that He is thorough. When I first started to unpack my deep layered pain from a lens of righteousness, I was overwhelmed with what I discovered. The Lord had begun taking me inch by little inch to new stones in my heart, and he began to gently turn them over so I could see underneath. In his compassion and thoroughness, he wouldn't have me simply just start playing disciple, believer, daughter. My deliverance wasn't sealed by me reading my Bible and attending church and doing all the things. My deliverance was and is the process of sanctification, peeling back ugly, dark layers and allowing the great physician to come into those spaces and perform his deep restorative work. I have recently been enjoying the work of faith-based psychiatrist Kurt Thompson. I strongly encourage you all to check him out. He has a lot of material on YouTube. He also has a book that I'll be talking about in just a second, but I really enjoy his work on suffering. That is one of his focuses. And he strongly emphasizes the need to learn how to suffer. Many of us have never learned how to suffer, and we avoid discomfort like the plague. We believe that it isn't Christ-like, or somehow it makes us less Christ-like, or somehow it makes Christ less Christ-like, the whole notion of suffering. And nothing could be further from the truth. And so one of the books that Kurt Thompson wrote, The Deepest Place, Thompson invites us to explore how the Apostle Paul's experience of love, secure attachment, and the deeply felt sense of God's abiding presence carried him through the challenges he faced, and how it can help us not just survive, but flourish in the presence of suffering. Stop and think about that for a second. Think about the time that you suffered the most. Maybe it's a time that you're experiencing right now. Have you ever thought that it was possible to not only survive, but to flourish in the presence of suffering? And I want us to think about what that means in this context. It doesn't mean that we're going to just be rejoicing and you know what I mean? It doesn't mean that we're not going to be hurt. But to flourish, our spirits will be flourished, struck down, but not destroyed. In the fire, but not being consumed by the fire. Boasting in our weaknesses. These are all phrases from scripture. These are all scriptures. How is that possible? So, and I'm quoting here, combining scripture with his own professional insight, Thompson helps us discover that one, suffering can increase our sense of security rather than our fears. Two, hope is something we form in community. Three, faith can grow out of anger, cynicism, and doubt. Four, perseverance changes our brain and reshapes our imagination. And lastly, listening to our bodies helps us find new hope in loss. As Thompson reminds us, those who have suffered greatly, including the Apostle Paul, are able to see their stories in a new understanding of God's presence and unfailing love. So going back to what I had shared with my vision, the Lord reminded me that he legitimately never had forsaken me. I just was unaware of his presence. So this knowing that God is with us, coupled with community, not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves, the sharing of our testimony, the sharing of our pain, because our testimony is not just things in the past, it's our story in the present. These are the things that help us to suffer well. There was one thing that Kurt Thompson said that was just absolutely beautiful. He had talked about a baby. Let's say an infant, if you're a parent or you've ever interacted with an infant when they're upset and they're crying, maybe they bump their head and they cry and they're looking around for something when they're crying. What are they looking for? They're looking to see if mommy or daddy is there. They're looking to see who is there with them as they're experiencing this pain, this ouchie, this boo-boo. And although, let's say mommy comes in and she picks up that baby and she caresses that baby and she embraces her baby and she comforts her baby, it doesn't take away the pain of the boo-boo. It doesn't take away the bruise or the wound. But it's just something about knowing that she is there with that baby that brings the baby such comfort. I benefited from hearing Dr. Kurt Thompson share that. And it just reminded me of the importance of community. That has been something that for many years was not my strong suit, especially when I was going through the deepest throes of pain. I would isolate. And that pain, although for what it was horrific, I believe that to a degree it was heightened because I endured it alone. Now, God was with me, but this is twofold. God establishes our relationship with Him, but He has also set up this thing called life so that we have horizontal relationship as well. In the beginning, when God made Adam, He said, it is not good for man to be alone. And so, yes, He made him a helpmeet in the form of a wife. But then we read in Psalm 133, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We read in Ecclesiastes that two is better than one. We read in Proverbs 17:17, that a brother is born for adversity. A brother is born to help in time of need. A friend loveth at all times. We read about loving our neighbor as ourselves. Even Jesus said the two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with everything in you, your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. God has established a structure that includes Him and others in our human unit. You think of the family unit. But in our human unit, we are to engage and have this exchange with God, but we also have an exchange with others. And these are the things that will embrace and secure us and anchor us in our times of suffering. So as I gave that example that Kurt Thompson gave with the baby and that parent, that mother, being with her baby. In the same way, God's unfailing presence is with you as you ache and pain. As hope seems like a fading light, as relationships wane and frustrations gain momentum, as disappointment and depression rise, as the fire heats up and the winter is colder than ever, God's unfailing presence is with you. Tony Collier, he is a hope coach, speaker, and author. He said, we all suffer, but it's how you acknowledge and welcome your suffering that can lead to enduring hope. Adam Young, who is a therapist and podcast host, I actually listened to his podcast, The Place We Find Ourselves. He said, reimagine how your suffering can be redeemed by engaging your story with others. Chuck Palahniuk, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but he said, it's so hard to forget pain, but it's even harder to remember sweetness. We have no scar to show for happiness. We learn so little from peace. I had heard another quote. I'm just paraphrasing because I can't remember exactly what it said. But in essence, it was saying that the lessons that we learn from pain are far greater than any lesson that happiness and joy could teach us. And so I thought about that. In this quote that said, we have no scar to show for happiness and we learn so little from peace. You know, when we get wounded, we have a scar and we have that scar forevermore. We never forget. And so that kind of equates to what we learn in our places of pain. It's so profound. It sticks with us. We remember it for all time. And it teaches us something. Going on with the quotes here. Another one says, you have to die a few times before you can really live. So begin unpacking your pain story. We recognize that God can work in our suffering, and we recognize that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and that one of the ways that we can begin to learn to suffer well is that we can begin to let the Lord have His way in our pain and suffering as we begin to unpack it, and we can do so best in the community of other believers, so that we can grow, that we can feel, and that we can heal. Ladies, until next time.
Dear listener, your support means everything, and without your listenership, there would be no show. Thank you for tuning in, and be sure to leave a review.
I'd love to know the impact of the show in your personal life, and I'd love to increase the chances of other women discovering and being transformed through this podcast. In the meantime, let's stay connected. Visit www.shesmark.com for more episodes, services, collaboration info, to shop the Marked store, or to make donations. In closing, 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you." The woman marked by God bears his seal, belongs to him, and is protected by him. She is a partaker in the divine nature of Christ, and therefore, she is free.